Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
For the past year, especially, there have been lots of stories about bikers in the media. A TV show was even made about them. Sure, there's a reality that's causing concern for our community, especially the police, but there's also been a fair bit of stereotyping because there are lots of bikers who break the mould, like Greg Hurst, who's a national motorcycling identity. He's been riding for more than 30 years and has made a tremendous impact in the Australian community. Greg belongs to the Brotherhood Christian Motorcycle Club, burning up the roads of Australia, sharing the Christian faith and helping those struggling in life. He hosts a weekly community radio show, has written books about life on the road, and more recently teamed up with Brendan Jones, also from radio, to produce and present a television show called Temporary Australians. Greg Hurst really has made a great difference in lots of people's lives and proves you don't have to be bad to be a biker. Greg Hurst, welcome to Open House.
G'day, Lee. Thanks for the invite.
It's great to meet you. Can you put into words, Greg, the best experience of being on a bike? For those who've never done it, what's so good about it?
Well, I can summarise it because when you ride a bike, every day on it is the best experience. It's just a thrill. Yeah. The journey, wherever you're going, whether it's to work or you're going over the mountains, one of the best rides I've had is over the Blue Mountains, west of Sydney, to Lithgow on the Bells Line of Road. It's one of those challenging roads. It's unforgiving. It's got some really tight corners, up and down hill corners, but it's just exhilarating because what it does, it gets you in touch with God's creation. You feel like you're part of what you're riding through. It's just an awesome experience. And then, of course, once you get to Lithgow, you've got to come back. So you get it twice.
Up we go again. But it's solitary.
Well, look, it is, in a sense. But when you're riding with a group of guys and girls, it's a tremendous feeling because you actually are able to communicate. I mean, one of the realities is you can get electronic devices to communicate.
Yes, you can, yes.
But even without that, you feel like you're part of a, well, I suppose, organism in a sense. You know, you're all travelling the same road. You're enjoying feeling the same experience, enjoying the same thrill on the bike. And when people come the other way on bikes, often you'll wave or nod to total strangers.
Yes.
Because it's a sense of camaraderie in the bike scene that is expansive. You can go anywhere and people you don't know will wave to.
Yeah, there's that real brotherhood, not only in your group, and that's got brotherhood in the name, but in any biker club or gang. What is it about this particular thing of riding a bike, this activity, that so draws people together? Whereas in other ventures of life, it doesn't necessarily.
Well, look, I think it is an edgy part of life because riding a motorcycle, you've got to do carefully, but you can do it very, very safely once you've picked up on some of the variables. And the variables are the condition of the bike, your own skill level, whether you're actually in a good state of mind when you're riding. You know, you're not stressed out by an argument with the missus at home.
Yes.
Other vehicles on the road, you know, gravel on the road. Once you pick up these variables and you ride within all of those, and speed limits is another issue too, it's really quite safe because a bike essentially won't fall over if you ride it the right way. One of the great concerns for riders, of course, is people in cars, because people in cars
tend
to not look.
It's your number one enemy, yes.
Oh, they are. And sometimes trucks, but mostly car people are the problem. But it really is just a terrific experience. And because it has these variables and it's a bit edgy, and you know there's potential dangers, when you're riding together, when you're fighting a common enemy, it does draw people closer.
Yeah.
It's the same in, I suppose, political parties. If you're fighting to change a government, that draws people closer together.
You first jumped on a bike when and what was it?
Well, that's going back to 1977. It was a 250 two-stroke Suzuki, a Hustler they called it. I bought it from a mate in church because I just started working for the Anglican Counselling Service in town and I didn't have any transport and I needed something cheap. So I bought this bike off him and he gave me some rudimentary instructions and then I rode out the driveway and nearly under a truck. Thankfully, I missed.
Good. Which is why you're
noticed.
Here.
Yeah, that's right. But he then told me that he was had this vision, he called it, to start a Christian bike club up. So he got his Christian mates who rode bikes to church and from a few other churches, and we went round to his house one night for a Bible study. So we started our first meetings in North Ryde. Bruce Sanders was his name, and he was running these Bible studies. Within a week, the local police had pulled him over and had all our names. Because that's one of the problems in society is that quite often people in power judge motorcyclists by stereotypes. So even though we were all Christian bikers and we're meeting for a Bible study, the police told him they had all our names and addresses and to be careful. I guess they just assumed we were up to no good.
Well, that's a bit of a groan because there are stereotypes.
Well, look, sadly there are at all levels. I mean, we have them. We have them of people who wear suits. You can't trust anyone in a suit. I mean, that's one of the famous biker stereotypes, the groups that I hang with. But yes, there are. It's very sad. I spoke to Adam Shand, a noted journalist. He wrote a book called Outlaws, focusing on outlaw clubs in Australia, and it was released last year. And he just said, look, essentially the stereotype that all bikers are criminals sells papers. And so people don't want to give that up. When he did that investigation, what he found was a mixture. You know, people who weren't criminals and people who are.
There's no denying that there is bad stuff in the biker community.
Oh, look, absolutely. And the biker community itself would not deny that. We were on a program recently on SBS called Insight, looking at this whole area. And half the program addressed all of those sorts of problems. The other half started looking at the anti-association style laws, which concern a whole range of us in the motorcycling community. The recent consorting laws in New South Wales are even more concerning because there's no exemption for clergy or Christian ministries. So if a policeman, for example, doesn't happen to like you in, you know, your role as a pastor, or, you know, you're visiting someone in jail, or you're following them up, you know, after they've got out and they've got a criminal record, you do it with two people twice, well, then it's his discretion whether he warns you and then charges you. So it really does come down to whether the police like you or not.
It's just purely judging by appearances, isn't it? And reputation of a group.
Well, look, I think there's been a real move to permanently criminalise people who've come out of jail. Now, I have Bible studies with people who've got criminal records and have turned their lives around, as do a lot of Christian ministers.
Had lots of them on open house.
Well, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. But I think what's underpinning this is the police essentially have the view, the stereotypical view, that once a crim, always a crim. They've now got powers, which they may or may not abuse, but unfortunately the first person to go to jail over consorting laws was a non-motorcycling young person in Inverell who was going shopping and paying his rent with his best mate, and that was enough because his best mate had a criminal record to get him charged, and now he's in jail.
What led you from riding for yourself, then riding as a group, to become more of an advocate, which you've become?
Look, it's been quite a journey. We actually fell into Christian ministry because our original intention was to ride our bikes and have Bible studies. So we didn't have any great pretensions about, you know, where we might end up. And one night we were going on a ride out to a church at Windsor. You know, very pleasant ride. But when we arrived at the church, we couldn't find Bruce, you know, the guy who started our club. Yeah. And he turned up half an hour later. Apparently he'd broken down out the front of the president of an outlaw motorcycle club. Now, we were all riding Japanese bikes at the time. So when he told us this story, we were a little bit gobsmacked because the stereotype is, you know, that Harley riding one percenters don't help anybody. Yes. But the president actually helped him get his Japanese bike going and then said, I'll bring your mates back after church.
Oh, wow.
So we actually went back to his house and he gave us coffee and we just chatted. And we're still friends today, some 35 years later. Had lots of God talks, and I've given him Gospels of Mark that have been developed for bikers, particularly with testimonies from bikers and so on. So we've had an incredibly long relationship, but it was entirely accidental. And so once that happened, we started to realise that God had a bit of a purpose and plan for us in the motorcycling community. But we had a lot of issues in our own lives that took some time we had to work out. You have to be really certain of your faith, but you also have to be fairly settled in your life because, you know, it's really easy when you've got major struggles in your life for that to get in the road of effective Christian ministry.
Yeah.
So over the years, as we got involved, we suddenly found ourselves in contact with people who were aware of governments making decisions about the motorcycling community based on stereotypes. And so we kind of fell into those meetings and it just resonated. You know, in the Bible, it does talk a lot about in the Old Testament that, you know, part of a nation under God is it has to act justly, and the courts have to be acting justly, and people in government have to be acting justly. So what that means is, translated, is if biker people do something, they need to find out what the issues are and address them in a fair manner.
I'm sure that's been a great help for many people. On Open House, we're with Greg Hurst from the Brotherhood Christian Motorcycle Club. Greg, what about your own faith journey? Where's that come from?
Well, I did go along to youth group and Sunday school when I was young, but that was because my parents wanted a Sunday morning free, so they shifted my brother and I.
They wouldn't have been alone.
I imagine that's correct, yes. And we continued in it as we got into our teenage years, more from the social side. Good place to meet girls, go on activities,
sure,
all that stuff.
Still is.
But I didn't really believe it. After I left school, high school, I got a job in the city and gave all that stuff a miss for a few years. And I thought I'd actually found some blokes at this place. We played football together and we'd go up the King's Cross together and party. And I thought I'd found some people who really accepted me as it was, because that's something everyone's looking for. Yeah. But we had a run-in at work after, you know, a few years of knowing those guys. And I suddenly realised that they actually didn't like me. I was just one of those people I tolerated in their group because we were working together. And when that happened, I got really depressed because I had really thought that they were my friends, so I felt like I had nowhere to turn. Yeah. And for some reason, while I was in that state and I was actually thinking about necking myself, I remembered the people had Bible bashed me over the years through youth group, and one little grey-haired old lady who used to run scripture in year 12, the high school I went to, and I remember how she persevered under intense stirring from myself and others.
Yeah.
But I started to remember what she said about how Jesus loved me and would forgive me my sins if I turned my life over to him. I started remembering all that. So when I did, I thought, well, I better check all this stuff out myself. So I started reading the New Testament. And it took a few months to just process what I was reading. But one night, a few months later, I just had to know. So I actually called out to God. I was walking up the hill outside my parents' place. And I called out to God and I asked him to show me he was there. Nothing happened at the time, nothing visible, because I guess I was looking for something, you know, that I could see. But the next day I woke up and I had this inner peace and warmth I'd never had before. And when I read in the Bible, one of the paraphrases in 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about how you become a brand new person on the inside. And what I realized was God did something not outward and visible, but inward and invisible. So I realized then I'd actually become a Christian, even though I didn't know the right words, I'd been found.
There's a story for the scripture teachers. What would you say to her now?
Well, if she was still alive,
yeah.
I would say you just never know who you're going to have an impact on.
No. So tell us the kind of person in the Brotherhood Christian Motorcycle Club that you help. This kind of work really does bring about significant change, a big difference in people's lives.
Well, yeah, as it does for all Christian motorcycle clubs, and there's a huge diversity of Christian bike ministries and clubs in Australia. And we have a national gathering every 3 years. It brings them together, and a statewide one every year where we catch up and we pray for each other. But all the clubs, including ours, we have people who come along who've got addiction issues, who've got family breakdown problems, who feel rejected and isolated, have nowhere that they feel they can go to be accepted. And so many of those people gravitate either to the streets, you know, they're homeless or they don't go home, they might couch surf if they're young, to people who are attracted to bike clubs because of the camaraderie and it's a surrogate family and so on. And so it's really vital to be able to just take people and accept them as they are. I do recall one fellow who, because I do weddings and funerals.
Do you really?
But I do recall this one guy. He's one of the first drug dealers that we actually helped come to Christ back in the late 70s. Now, he had a really checkered career as a Christian, if you can call it a career. He fell away and come back to God. And when he'd fall away, he'd go back into drugs. And then he ended up back in jail. And then he came back to God and got released on paroled. And a whole range of things happened. But he was still struggling with heroin addictions over many, many years. In fact, he passed away this year in his 50s, and that's probably 20 years longer than anyone expected because of the abuse that he'd put his body through. But, I mean, those of us who knew him, he's a very difficult guy to manage, but we did pray consistently for many, many years for him. And he did find his way back into church and he gave up narcotics. He was living up the Central Coast for probably the last 6 to 8 years and found a church where he could be accepted and went along. Finally, the ravages of his life caught up with him and he died in his early 50s.
But with hope.
Well, not only with hope, but with for us, it's certainly that we'll see him again, but we'll see him without all of that stuff when we all get to heaven.
Yeah. I'm very happy to give quality radio programs a plug. Tell me about yours.
Well, I do a national motorcycle radio program on a live FM. It's a community station, but they stream around the country. So because I've been doing advocacy for well over 30 years now around Australia and internationally, when the program kicked off over a year ago, I just essentially sent all the information out on my email list, and so I do that every week now. I've been able to interview politicians who ride motorbikes, celebrities who ride motorbikes, some great characters in the bike scene.
So what are you trying to do in that program?
The program is a music, news and information program aimed at the broader community. But because I'm in a Christian bike club, I integrate the Christian part of our lifestyle in that. So from time to time, I will interview Christian bikers about some of their experiences in life. Recently, the president of Ambassadors Christian Motorcycle Club did an interview with me. Now, he had a major motorcycle accident a number of years ago. So we talked about the accident, how he processed making the decision to ride again, and how prayer from his wife and his church really helped him. You know, he reckoned his faith in God is what got him through that. So for us, that sort of stuff is quite real. So we just integrate that in. It's just another news story, and people seem to be accepting of it.
I'd be surprised if you haven't had the odd stack or so yourself.
Well, look, my motorcycle stacks mainly happened when I was young and inexperienced in the first couple of years. Yep. The sort of things you do when you're inexperienced is you hit the front brake rather than the back brake, so the rear end of the bike follows you around and then you go sprawling down the road, or you don't anticipate cars. The most serious accident I have, and I'm really thankful for God's intervention in this, but I was coming back with a brotherhood guy from Blacktown. We'd been doing some Christian outreach in a skating park, which I have to tell you was a hoot if you happen to be wearing club colours riding skates around and out to the ring. But we won't go into that
just
story
too
much.
Yeah.
Yeah, picture it. Okay. But we're coming back, and I was sitting on the speed limit just at Westmead, and this guy was turning right in front of me at a set of lights, so green light, so I just kept going. But when I saw him edging across, I moved over in the lane. I moved towards the left side of the lane, and then he floored it. And so I thought, okay, so I locked my brakes up, thinking by the time I let go of the brakes, he'll have gone through. But he stalled in front of me, and so I had my brakes locked up, and so we went straight into the side of the car. Now, I went into a soft panel on the passenger side, and my mate, he went over the car completely and landed on his head. Now, neither of us were hurt. That's what I say. I'm really thankful to God how that worked out, because it was a really bad crash scenario. Yes. And then the guy in the car took off. Turned out it was a stolen car, and he was drunk as. We know that because a couple of the people in cars who saw this, they actually chased him and pulled him over, and he ran and abandoned the car and wobbled down the road and then jumped over a back fence and escaped. I have to say that's one of the rarest occasions that I've heard of people in cars looking after bikers, but I'm very thankful they did.
I bet you are. And you've also got into TV with Brendan Jones. Tell us about that.
Well, look, Jonesy and I have been in the bike scene for many years, done a lot of awareness rides together and charity events. He's got a great passion for motorcycling, and one of the things that I've wanted to see done is a really positive media series on the motorcycle scene as it is, not as the stereotype, yes, the negative stereotypes dictate often. So the only way to do that really was to make it ourselves. So what we've done is we've already had a series on community television around the country, and it's rated really well. But essentially it's made up of people telling their story. So we go to events and film rides, and we ask people to talk about what's their passion in life. Now, what we've done is we've integrated some Christian bikers into that, and we've had a couple of pieces from John Smith, a few testimonies from Brotherhood guys, and one guy from the Christian Motorcyclists Association. And no one seemed to buck at it. It's just very naturally done because they're talking about life experiences and struggles. And one of the guys in Brotherhood's a cancer survivor, so he talked about, you know, how God had his hand on all of that. And one fellow in our club, and when he was young living in Canada, he grew up in a household, well, the father essentially was president of a 1% motorcycle club, and there was a war, and the house was put on fire, and there was a killing, and his little brother died in the fire. So there's a whole range of tragic circumstances that people have found faith, and faith in Christ has really helped them get on with life, you know, and progress. So, you know, those sort of stories, people seem to be able to relate, and the God stuff doesn't seem to turn them off, if you like. It's just more a way of integrating faith into the culture. And so that's what the program is. We did the first series. We actually started filming the second now. It's just been a great thrill because it's giving people a voice. Because the negative stereotypes about motorcycles, you're either antisocial or that you're not long for this world.
Yes, yeah.
Hence the name Temper Australians for the TV show, because it's one of the great insults. We thought we'd lampoon it.
In your book, Greg, My Motorcycling Life, you mentioned that some people have found reality in God through your work. Can you explain what that reality is?
Well, look, bikers, and particularly club members, are very close to their chest. They keep their feelings, they keep really personal stuff quiet. Sometimes they won't even tell their closest club mates, you know, what's happening in their lives. Such is the case when the spiritual side of life crops up. I actually had a mate in an outlaw club, and we had a fellow in the bike scene to be bagging us both out. So he wanted to go around and have a friendly discussion with him, in inverted commas.
Yes.
And I said no. Now, we'd known each other for 23 years, and he hated me for 20 of them, and then started talking to me in the last three of those 23 years. And then when I said no, he accepted it. And then he came back to me later on and just out of the blue said he had a copy of the New Testament by his bed and he was reading it. And so since that time, we have had lots of extensive God talks. The question of whether Jesus rose from the dead was the issue for him. But over about a decade of these conversations, he actually came to a point where he could accept that Christ must have risen from the dead. Now, he hasn't made a personal commitment, but it was really clear that he was searching for God. And a lot of these guys are that you would never know it.
Yep.
So, you know, we run into people who secretly will tell us, you know, they believe in God and stuff because they don't want their mates to know. What I hope that Christian bike clubs being around does is make it almost socially acceptable to be into God if you want to be. So
yeah.
That's okay, but really what we want to do is introduce people to a personal relationship with Christ, that you have to work with them and in the journey they're on.
I think it's a wonderful thing that you do, and I'm so grateful that you've joined us on Open House, because you and your mates don't do much media like this, so I'm particularly grateful. Greg Hurst, thank you so much indeed for joining us. There's a nice pic on our Facebook page, not because I'm in it, but of a nice big fat Harley, a red Harley of Greg Hurst's. Have a look at that. Greg, thanks so much.
Thanks, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.